Janana Braj Janaranjana Yasoda Nandana Braj Janaranjana
Yeah.
Sapadivajikachari. Astotra Satatsi Simad Divine Grace is Kampanachari. Shilabhasha Navina Bhakti Vidanta Swami Prabhupamanasaki. Jaya Om Vishnu Pad Paramahamsa Parivrajakachari. Astotra Satatsi Simad Divine Grace. Sila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Goswami Prabhupamanasaki. Jaya. Ananta Koti Vaishnavini ki. Namacharya Sri Haridasa Kura ki. Pram Sri Kahau Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda. Sri Advaita Gadara Sri Vasadi Sri Gaura Bhakta Vindi ki. Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gopal Gopinath Syama Kunda Radha Kunda Giri Gubadhan ki. Sri Vrindavan Dham ki. Sri Mathura Dham ki. Sri Mayapur Dham ki. Sri Navadvip Dham ki. Sri Nilachala Jagannapura Dham ki. Ganga Mai Yamuna Mai ki. Sri Mati Tulsi Devi Bhakta Devi ki. Samaveda Bhakta Vini ki. Nitai Guru Premanandi. All glories to the Sama devotees. All glories to the Sama devotees. All glories to the Sama devotees. All glories, all glories to the Guru and Guranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
So we are going to take a reading from Srimad Bhagavad Gita as it is. Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 4, text 9. This verse is discussing about Lord Krishna, Lord Krishna's birth and activities, and how it is relevant to our cultivation of Krishna consciousness, or our cultivation of bhakti, devotional service to Lord Krishna. So here in the Bhagavad Gita, there are so many Bhagavad Gitas in India. First, I'd like to appreciate the presence of everyone here. In America, people are very busy, but you spared your precious time to be here for this gathering. It means that you have a lot of self-interest. Self-interest. Why? Because the self is part and parcel of Lord Krishna. Krishna mentions in the Gita, Mama Evamsa Jiva Loki Jiva Bhuta Sanata. So we, I don't mean this body, the spiritual entity within, who is occupying this body, using this body as a machine, Yantra Rudrani Maya. The living entity who is using this body as a machine is part and parcel of Lord Krishna. Of course, even this body, this physical bodies, subtle bodies, Bhumi Apa Nalo Vayo Kamano Bodhi Evas. Krishna said, Bina Prakriti has to die. These eight separated energies are his. Are his. We can't claim proprietorship over these bodies. Even these so-called bodies, you see, my body, my head, my hand, my chest, my this and my that, we can't really claim proprietorship over anything. So here we are. Our real self, we are part and parcel of Lord Krishna. That means we are also having those transcendental qualities. The real self is also having the transcendental qualities of Lord Krishna, as described by Lord Brahma himself in the Brahma Samhita, Ishvara Paramakrishna Sakshi Ananda Vigraha. Can you want us to? So the point is that whether we like it or not, anytime we claim proprietorship over these bodies, it means we are being misled by our sensory modalities. by our senses, sensing modalities. By sensing modalities, I'm referring to the senses. Sometimes I forgot that I'm in the midst of devotees, because in academics, they don't want simple language. So in order to get across to them, we use the technical terms. We use the technical term to cut across to them. I remember one day, I was speaking to one professor. I dabbled into their online conference, and she was speaking. She owns a big community online. She's an expert in special. She has a specialty in conflict resolutions. From North Carolina, and you know, that day, I just dabbled into their conference, online conference. And I'm looking for ways to preach, to connect, especially the so-called elites, the professors. So then, you know, I'm like a stranger in their midst. And so she was trying to get some understanding about my background and all this. And so I said, I told her everything. Then I said, I'm a priest. He said, which background? I said, International Society for Krishna Consciousness. So she said, I used to know those guys when I was a child in New York. I was brought up in New York, so I used to see them on the streets. What do you guys do when you go about singing on the street and dancing? So I explained to her that, you know, what these guys do, these ladies and gentlemen, you see them in robes on the streets of New York, not only New York, in other several cities all over the world. They're chanting and dancing. I didn't say chanting and dancing. I said they are embarking on collective sonic therapy. And this sonic therapy is meant to dissipate all types of environmental hazards. And she said, this is very good. So why are you guys not on the streets anymore? Because if I tell her, this is chanting the holy names of God, and you know, this invokes love of God, and you know, it purifies the mirror of the heart, she will understand all those stuffs, you know. And then you have to approach her in a technical language that she can appreciate. So she was very much appreciated. Since that day, you know, we became friends, and I sent some books even to her afterwards. You know? So this is how, you know, this is how we trick them in, and then, you know, give them the hook, and, you know, catch them for Krishna. So the basic point is that we, as part and parcel of Krishna, we have a reason, we have a purpose to come to this material world. And if we don't know the purpose, the Hare Krishna movement will remind us the purpose of our coming to this world. I mean, just like some people from Indian background, they only came to know about the Krishna consciousness movement and become serious devotees when they came to America. You were in India, one devotee told me, Maharaj, I was born in India. My parents are devotees, not very serious ones, but they are Vaishnavas. And I don't really care about this tradition in India, you know. I was after my school and I'll go and make money. But when I came here and I see all these Westerners, they are carrying on my tradition. So I became seriously challenged from within. Now what? Wait a minute, what's going on here? These people are doing what I'm supposed to do. This is a challenge for me. It means they have defeated me. So I have to brace up. Now he's very serious about it. So the point is that whether we realize the purpose of our being in this world or not, we have to understand that we are part and parcel of Krishna. This claim was given by Krishna himself. And Krishna doesn't bluff people. So, we have to understand our pristine identity and work towards fulfilling that objective. Therefore, we need to understand who Krishna is. He says we are his part and parcel. Let us understand today what are his activities, what is his appearance like. That's why I've chosen this verse, text 9 of chapter 4. Jarma karma chame devyam evam yo vetita tvataha taktva deham puna janma naitimam eti sojuna. Janma karma chame devyam evam yo vetita tvataha taktva deham puna janma naitimam eti sojuna. Janma karma chame devyam evam yo vetita tvataha taktva deham puna janma Naiti mam eti sojuna. So please repeat the word for word translation. Jarma.
Jarma.
Bet.
Karma.
Karma. Work.
Work.
Cha.
Cha.
Also.
Also.
Me.
Me.
Of mine.
Of mine.
Divyam.
Divyam.
Transcendental.
Transcendental.
Evam.
Evam.
Like this.
Like this.
Yaha.
Yaha.
Anyone who.
Anyone who.
Beti.
Beti.
Knows.
Knows.
That tvataha.
That tvataha.
In reality.
In reality.
Chaktwa.
Chaktwa.
Leaving aside.
Leaving aside.
Deham.
Deham.
This body.
This body.
Punaha.
Punaha.
Again.
Again.
Janma.
Janma.
Bet.
Na.
Na.
Never.
Never. Eti.
Eti.
Does attain.
Does attain.
Mam.
Mam.
Unto me.
Unto me.
Eti.
Eti.
Does attain.
Does attain.
Saha.
Saha.
He.
He.
Arjuna.
Arjuna.
O Arjuna.
O Arjuna.
This is a very popular verse. One who knows translation of purport by divine grace is confined Acharya Srila Abhacharya Navina Bhakta Vedanta Swami Prabhupada Maharaj ki. Srila Prabhupada ki. Srila Prabhupada ki. Very good. You know, the duty of the devotees is just to glorify their acharyas, their gurus, grand spiritual master, especially Srila Prabhupada. Just by doing that, they make progress. What a simple process. Instead of criticizing people and you become enemies, do the opposite. Just praise the acharya, find the good in the devotees and ignite that, and you'll be making progress. It's not just to make friends only, but you'll be making progress in your devotional pursuit. What a good process. This is opposite of what we find in academics. In academics, we are trained systematically to find fault with the professor. So, one who knows the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities does not, upon leaving the body, take his bed again in this material world. But attains my eternal abode, O Arjuna. Please kindly repeat responsibly. One who knows the transcendental nature,
one who knows the transcendental nature
of my appearance,
of my appearance
and activities,
and activities
does not upon leaving the body,
upon leaving the body,
take his birth again,
in
this material world.
But
attains my eternal abode.
O Arjuna.
So let us listen to Srila Prabhupada's purport very attentively. The Lord's descent from his transcendental abode is already explained in the sixth verse. One who can understand the truth of the appearance of the personality of Godhead is already liberated from material bondage, and therefore he returns to the kingdom of God immediately after quitting this present material body. Such liberation of the living entity from
Material bondage is not at all easy. The impersonalists and the yogis attain liberation only after much trouble and many, many births. Even then, the liberation they achieve merging into the impersonal Brahma Jyoti of the Lord is only partial, and there is the risk of returning to this material world. But the devotee, simply by understanding the transcendental nature of the body and activities of the Lord, attains the abode of the Lord after ending this body, and does not run the risk of returning to this material world. In the Brahma Samhita 5:37, it is stated that the Lord has many, many forms and incarnations. Advaitam, Achyutam, Anandim, Anantarupa. Although there are many transcendental forms of the Lord, they are still one and the same Supreme Personality of Godhead. One has to understand this fact with conviction. Although it is incomprehensible to mundane scholars and empiric philosophers, as stated in the Vedas, Purusha Bodhini Upanishad, Eko Devo Nitya Lila Nuraktu, Bhakta Vyapi Riddhyanta Atma. Quote, The one Supreme Personality of Godhead is eternally engaged in many, many transcendental forms in relationship with his unalloyed devotees. Unquote. The Vedic version is confirmed in this verse of the Gita personally by the Lord. He who accepts this truth on the strength of the authority of the Vedas and of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and who does not waste time in philosophical speculations, attains the highest perfectional stage of liberation. Simply by accepting this truth on faith, one can, without a doubt, attain liberation. The Vedic version, Tattvam Asi, is actually applied in this case. Anyone who understands the Lord Krishna to be the Supreme, or who says unto the Lord, quote, "You are the same Supreme Brahman, the Personality of Godhead," unquote, is certainly liberated instantly, and consequently, his entrance into the transcendental association of the Lord is guaranteed. In other words, such a faithful devotee of the Lord attains perfection, and this is confirmed by the following Vedic assertion. Tameva viditrati mrityumeti nayampanta vidyate yanaya. Quote, one can attain the perfect stage of liberation from birth and death simply by knowing the Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and there is no other way to achieve this perfection. This is from Svetasvatara Upanishad 3:8. That there is no alternative means that anyone who does not understand Lord Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead is surely in the mood of ignorance, and consequently he will not attain salvation simply, so to speak, by licking the outer surface of the bottle of honey or by interpreting the Bhagavad Gita according to mundane scholarship. Such empiric philosophers may assume very important roles in the material world, but they are not necessarily eligible for liberation. Such puffed-up mundane scholars have to wait for the causeless mercy of the devotee of the Lord. One should therefore cultivate Krishna consciousness with faith and knowledge, and in this way attain perfection. Om Jnana Timirandasya Jnana Salakaya Sagsurun Militam Jnai Si Gurve Namaha Si Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Pandeham Si Gurun Si Yutapadakam Si Gurun Vaishnavam Chas Si Rupam Sagajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitantam Samsajivam
Sadveta Sarvadhuta Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Deva Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Radha Sri Vishakam Sri Vishancha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tata Kanchana Gorange Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Pre Vanchakalpa Tarubhyacha Kripa Sundubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Siva Sadi Gaura Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Makan karoti vachalam pangim lagatim kriya kripa tumaham vande si guru dinatarina Nama Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pista Bhutale Sman Bhakti Samati Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pista Bhutale Sema Bhakti Vedanta Swami Chinami Namaste Sarasati Deva Bhava Anipitarina Anirvisesa Swami Bhari Pishatari So, this verse is talking about Krishna's appearance and his activities, and that one who understands the inner meaning or the esoteric aspect of Lord Krishna's appearance. Now, there are two things in the Vedic tradition. Every event, every episode, even a sastra, has to be viewed from two perspectives mainly, and that is from the esoteric perspective and the exoteric perspective. Exoteric perspective means that we see it literally, and perhaps just like, I mean, ordinary people with mundane vision do. For instance, other people are born. So Krishna is the son of Devaki and Vasudev, or the Krishna is the son of Rohini and Nanda Maharaj, just not a bit. What's the big deal? I know Krishna. I came from the compound where he was born. Some people claim like that. Sometimes we go out for book distribution, and we give people books, and especially people from Indian background, and they tell, "Oh, Bhagavad Gita? I know Bhagavad Gita. I know Krishna." But if they know Krishna, then it will show in them. Because if you know someone and someone is introducing that person to you, then you'll be so eager to hear from that person, isn't it? Yes. So this is a situation where people tend to understand Krishna from the exoteric perspective, from the mundane eyes. Their eyes are not anointed with the salve of love, premanjana charito. Premanjana. If the eye is not anointed with the salve of love, with prema, that is induced by bhakti vilochanena, if there is no priti in the relationship between the living entity and Krishna, he cannot Krishna. Krishna won't reveal himself to the person. It's just like Krishna was on the battlefield, I mean, during the wrestling arena. But, you know, the Vrajabhasis, they see him from a different perspective. The demons, Kamsa and his associates, Kamsa and his cohorts, they see him from a purely exoteric perspective. The Vrajabhasis
we're able to perceive Krishna from esoteric perspective, whereas Kamsa and his cohorts, we are viewing Krishna from exoteric perspective. They're viewing Krishna with mundane eyes. And they were thinking, this small boy, let's smash him. They get him some mash. Don't give him any proper mash, but get him someone who can smash him. So this is the way of the people who are imbued with phenomenological mindset. Because they don't understand the Lord, his appearance, his leelas, that the Lord is constantly engaged in nitya leelas, which are simply meant to purify those who encounter such leelas, those who hear such leelas, those who glorify such leelas. Just like the case of Jarasandha, you know, when Krishna was choosing to be given the horn of during the Rajasuya sacrifice by Yudhishthira, and Jarasandha heard that Krishna, he became very envious. But he was not openly envious. He was presenting some philosophy. You are recognizing this little boy who fought with water snake and defeated the water snake? What is the big deal in fighting with a water snake? Anybody can fight with a water snake and defeat a water snake. That is the person you want to honor in this assembly. So, again, we find that politics is not today's thing. Politics in those days meant that you say something without letting others really know what your inner heart is. You say something, it looks like it's on the surface thing, but it's only you who know what your motive is. And you want to achieve that motive. So you bring some philosophy here. So that's exactly what Jarasandha was doing. He was condemning Krishna, but very indirectly. And he was also discussing about Krishna's pastimes. But he was criticizing those pastimes relating to the mundane, inferior activities. But the devotee does not perceive the pastimes of Lord Krishna like that. Therefore, Lord Krishna is mentioning here that those who understand my transcendental appearance and activities, they will be endowed with sufficient priti, sufficient love. And they will be endowed with devotion. When the devotion is there, then we want to sacrifice everything for the Lord. Lord Krishna also mentions that the pure devotee is in his heart. Generally, we understand that every embodied soul is having a super soul. Sarvasya saham ridhi sanevisto mata smriti gyanam apohanam cha. And Lord Krishna went on to explain that vidhaisa aham eva vidya vedanta krit veda vid eva chaham. I'm not just situated in the heart of each and everything, motivating forgetfulness, remembrance, etc. But I, by all the Vedas, I am to be known. That's what he said. Vedai to survive. Aham. Every Vidya. And then, you see, people think that, you know, they know how to boast. Huh? But Krishna knows how to boast more than anyone else. But his own boast and arrogance is a transcendental one, because he tells you what he can do and is actually a reality. We will only boast. We will only claim to somebody, I can do this, I can do this, I can do this, and then tomorrow we are sick. We can't do it. Or then we make a phone call and say, I'm sorry, I'm not able to come for this meeting because I had some fever yesterday, I had a flu. That's not the case with Krishna. Therefore, Yikru. Because he is, everything is under his auspices. He transcends the material gunas. So we have to understand how Krishna operates. He is appearing next week on Wednesday, Thursday. But again, we have to understand how Krishna, how God. See, there is no doubt we are bound to be confused, because even Lord Brahma was confused. If Lord Brahma is confused, who are we? Lord Brahma is the Lord of this universe. Yet, when he was told after Krishna killed Agasura, and the demigods were showering all type of praises, eulogizing him, showering him with flowers, playing kettle drums, they were jubilating and all over the place, hanging out in space. Lord Brahma was worried. He wants to figure out what really happened, who killed his Agasura. And when he came, he saw this small boy playing with other cowherd boys, and this is what the demigods are saying, that this is Supreme Lord. My God, it's not this small boy. Vishnu, I worship. It's not this small boy. So Brahma wanted to experiment his speculation. He is Avisuddha Buddha. He is impure intelligence. You see, when one is affected by Ajnana Prabhava, one is under the influence of ignorance. Nothing goes straight, you know. We need help. That's why we say, before we make any discussion, we always say, Om Ajnana Timirandasya, Jnana Jana Savakri, Saksu Militant, Jena Tasmai, Si Guravini. What does that mean? It means we are born in the darkest region. Not only darkness. The darkest. There are different gradations of darkness. We were born in the darkest region of ignorance. This ignorance we are born into is the darkest region. So the acharyas understand that. We may claim that, we are very intelligent, or we are this, but we pass through some training. Isn't it? Do we find engineers born? We don't find, for instance, software engineers born. They went to school, isn't it? They might be software engineers in the previous life, even up to PhD, but this life, they are covered over with the darkest region of ignorance. So they have to go to school to resuscitate that inherent gyan. So that's why people go to school, because we are born in ignorance. So if someone is in ignorance, how could he know what is what? It's not possible. So we need education. We need education. We need even spiritual culture. We need spiritual education. That's why Lord Krishna says that vidhi pranipate paripasmena sivaya upadikshanti te gyanam gyanina tapradashana. We need it, so that we can appreciate and understand these little boys' appearance, so that we don't become bewildered like Brahma. The devotees, they don't get bewildered. It is only those who claim to be independent of the Lord that get bewildered. They accept Lord Krishna as Krishna's true Bhagavan Swayam. They don't have any problem. Those who are not devotees, that is the problem. So this knowledge is very confidential, Lord Krishna mentions. This is the most confidential of all confidential knowledge. Because Lord Krishna is actually very confidential. If he doesn't reveal himself to anybody, how can anybody know him? It's not possible. If a father does not reveal his bank accounts to the child, the child born today, even he's 20, grows up in the house when he's 20, if the father does not show him the bank accounts, where will the child get to know? Is it possible? By what magic? This is even materially speaking. Not to talk of the Supreme Lord, having to understand the Supreme Lord. It's not possible if the Lord does not bestow his mercy upon the conditioned soul. That is why
we have come to Krishna consciousness to try to explore ways of how to expedite action on this learning process. Because learning has got some endogenous and exogenous factors which mitigate against it. For instance, we come to Krishna consciousness and it's not the same type of progress we make. If even two people come to Krishna consciousness today, it's not the same progress they are going to make in the next 1 year. One will be more advanced than the other. So, we need the mercy of the Lord. We need the mercy of the devotees. And this mercy comes when we are cultivating the habit of being respectful towards every devotee. Not even only devotees, to every living being, because every living being is part and parcel of Krishna. Therefore, we have to understand that these pastimes of Lord Krishna can be revealed only to the devotee who has sold out himself or herself to Lord Krishna. And even easier than that, Krishna reveals his transcendental nature. He makes it easy for the devotee who has sold his life to a pure devotee of Lord Krishna. This is the bottom line of spiritual cultivation. It could be very, Krishna is very complex to understand. But it becomes very easy to understand. It becomes very easy to achieve when we take proper shelter of a pure devotee of the Lord. I mean, just like a child who doesn't please his father will not get to know the bank balance of the father. Is it possible? Except that father is really superlatively compassionate. But as far as we know, material life means that scratch my back, I scratch your back. The child is not sober, is not service oriented, it does not appreciate the father's good deeds. Most fathers will will that money to the other child who is the opposite. And this happens. I saw this in the case where some elderly person was dying. He was a legal practitioner, very rich guy. He had about 7 or 8 kids. And when he was on the sick bed, because at that time I had an accident, terrible ghastly accidents, I was in that ward, emergency ward, because I underwent some surgeries. And I was watching this guy, terminally ill, and he was dying. But every day, one of his kids, grown-up guy, he comes there to nurse him, take care of him. He stays there practically all day with him. And I could see when he would be directing the boy, this place and this place, this is where to get the checkbook for this bank, this is where... Yeah, I was watching, you know. I was watching what was going on. Other children come to visit, they don't stay. They just stay, come and for a few minutes, they go. Guy is dying, what are we going to do? But that boy, I saw him, he was nursing this person, this elderly person. So the guy showed him all of his bank balance. He showed him everything. So that is what it takes to serve the pure deity of Lord Krishna, and Lord Krishna becomes very pleased. And if even grossly these things happen, where do you think people derive all these emotions and feelings and attitudes and mindsets? It's from Lord Krishna. One may say Lord Krishna is partial. He's not. It's simply the normal thing to do. If a woman is married and the husband simply takes or says darling, 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 and does not really show real practical steps to demonstrate that the wife is darling, how will the wife be service oriented? Therefore, we find some many women nowadays, the husband tells, can you go make me some juice? You say, go do it yourself. This is not Purana, I've seen it. Because he just don't leave service, you know? He just don't leave service. darling, I love my wife, beautiful wife. No sorry for John Master. I mean it's not meeting up. You know? Then you only go to your wife when you want something from her. When you want some sanctification, you go to meet her. When you want to get her to do something for you, you go and meet her. You wear it. So it becomes like, and women, they don't like that. Those of you who are married, hear this. Women, they don't like that. Matajis, do you like that? I had several experiences because when I was a brahmachari, I was acting as a counselor to several householders, and I saw all these things. So I'm not just talking out of the blues. This is some abstract thing Maharaj is saying. No, it's a practical thing. And if he has all these mantages here, they will tell you. So, this is relationship. Krishna is simply facilitating relationship. You love me, I love you. Finish. That's it. And the more you are dedicated to me, I make things very easy for you. Like that man who was dying, he was showing all his bank balance to his child that was very attentive to his niece at that terminal stage. So, to make our Krishna consciousness easy, we need to be able to understand the principles that we have to work with. And one principle is humility. We have to be humble. If we are humble, Krishna will become very much bought over, very easily. I give example of humility, how humility can solve so many problems. One time, Gandhi's wife, Gandhi was having a problem with his wife, or the wife was having a problem with him. And so he got to a stage whereby he told the wife, "Get out from this house! Just get out here!" So the woman was scared. I said, "Get out!" So he went, she left. So she left. If the man is just harassing you like that and he's so angry, what can you do? Although with that his international reputation, still he was angry with her. So anger doesn't have any... No, anger has no favorites. Krishna also has no favorite. It's just that if you surrender unto him, he rewards you accordingly. So she left. But she didn't carry anything. Not even handbag. She just left. And few minutes later, someone was knocking on the door. He was angry, he was furious. So when someone was knocking on the door, he didn't mind the knock. He was feeling, "I'm angry with my wife and somebody's coming this time now. What is they coming to do anyway? They come only to me to ask for favor." That's why the big people have. When you're big in society, you have a high social status, people just come to you. But not for your own good in most cases, they just want something from you. So he was having that feeling on there. He was even hesitant, kept knocking on the door. So the person, he went to open, so that they don't say, "Oh, I went to Gandhi's house and then I kept knocking, he didn't open the door for me." So he opened the door, and that was his wife. So he said, "I kicked you out. Why did you come again?" She was very humble. She said, "I don't have anywhere to go." That alone, pulverized him completely. If somebody has nowhere to go, even if it's a child, people are building homeless homes. They're building setting up structures for homeless the people. Your wife says, "I don't have anywhere to go." So you know, he opened the door wide open. That was the end of the quarrel. Humility, it solved the whole problem. So, we have to make inquiries, but in a humble state of mind. Inquiries have to be made in spiritual culture, but we have to be humble. It's just like, if a child doesn't know something, the child doesn't go to challenge the father. The child makes humble inquiries, the father will download the information from his hard disk. Okay? So, but then, in our devotional career, we need cooperative ventures. We need devotees to be very cooperative. Here, Shama Swena was telling me, and even Vanna Mali also was mentioned to me when I was sitting there, you have so much of preaching projects coming up here, more than most temples in America. Because you're desirous to preach and Krishna is making so much of arrangement. But the temptations also will come when there is a boon in the preaching arena. Maya also tries to infiltrate. Therefore, we have to put high walls so that Maya doesn't look anywhere that is low to jump in. We need cooperation amongst the devotees here. And when there is cooperation and team spirit, then you see how your preaching projects in Pittsburgh here will surmount most temples in America. He was telling me how now you are working with Unitarian Church and the guys are just, they're willing. Even their, some of their members, their leaders, they are reading Bhagavad Gita. They're like coercing you. Please come. That is what we want, and they are the ones throwing the rope to us. So you draw it fast. But as you are making progress, temptations also will come. And Maya will not use anyone outside. He will use the devotees who are here. So don't be the one to be used by Maya to disrupt the preaching. That is what happens when there is serious progress in any preaching arena. So we have to know beforehand what comes when there is some progress in preaching. You're going to grow here in leaps and bounds. But collective effort, intense spirit, a good loving relationship amongst the devotees is imperative. For the preaching, for the progress to be sustained, good loving relationship, a caring thinking attitude amongst the devotees is imperative. Because if we say, we have a tendency to think that I worship Krishna and that's it. I love Krishna and that's it. I serve Krishna and that's it. No. If Lord Krishna says, Mama evamsa jiva bhuta. Mama evamsa jiva loka jiva bhuta sanat. The living entities themselves are eternal. They are part and parcel of Krishna. They are extensions of Lord Krishna. The devotee is an extension of Lord Krishna. The wife, your wife is an extension of Lord Krishna. So if you treat your wife as an anger of Lord Krishna, how much unity will be in the family? If you treat your spouse, your husband, as an extension of Lord Krishna. In fact, the husband is the first guru of the wife. What does that imply? It means that the husband has to be more involved in spiritual reality to be able to make rapid advancement so that the wife could emulate that spouse. So that the wife could take instruction, so that the wife could take shelter, so that the children could take shelter. This is exactly what happened with Prabhupada. When each time he wakes up in the morning, he sees his father doing puja. And therefore, that sank right deep into him. And there was no difficulty in him proposing a mini Ratha Yatra for his friends and himself, and his father bought the idea and made the arrangement. So it becomes a part of Vedic historiography. How wonderful when you have a child who has to make a history in the Vedic tradition. If your child becomes a pure devotee, he does not just become liberated, but 10 generations after him and before him become liberated. Not just only the mother and the father. That's why you need to encourage your children to have a balanced structure in terms of learning nations and science side by side. spiritual education and material education side by side. It's not that we are devotees and then we dump our children that, oh, you just read Bhagavad Gita, that's it. They won't integrate into the social structure that is available in society. The Upanishad says we have to integrate the material knowledge and the spiritual knowledge side by side. We have to integrate both. So, it is essential for us to understand the wonderful pastimes of Lord Krishna. When Krishna took birth in the house of Nanda Maharaj, in the house of Devaki and Vasudev, he took birth in the home of Nanda Maharaj and the home of Rohini. And when Vasudev took Krishna from Mathura, from the prison, to Nanda's home, the two Krishnas merged. I was reading something today from one devotee, and it says that one Gaudiya Vaishnav Maharaj mentioned something about that and said Acharya didn't know that this happened. So, but then if he's a very advanced person, a very advanced devotee is not a scholar who finds fault. You look at the good side. The difference between a devotee and a mundane scholar is that the devotee picks the good side of each and everybody, the good qualities, and found on that. The scholars, we pick the bad side and fan on that to bring you down. So we are living in a community, Vaishnava community. We should be averse to phenomenological mindset based on scholarship rooted in demoniac nature. Vishwaruham Ambolki Siduham Balawansi. This is the principle by which phenomenological mindset operates. When I begin to think, I am the controller. The men generally think like that. They are the controllers of the home. But we know that the women actually, they rule the world. What a foolish idea. The men think that they are the controllers. But every top notcher in spiritual culture understands that it's the women who control the world. The women are the real Ishwaras. They are the Ishwaris of this material world. Because even the whole of this earth planet is controlled by a woman. If the whole planet is controlled by a woman, what makes you think that the home, which is a microcosm of the planet, will be controlled by someone else? Therefore, even the home, the women control it. Therefore, if you treat your wife nicely, Krishna consciousness will rest assured. If you treat your wife nicely, your wife is happy, you'll be happy. And when you're chanting, you'll not be in anxiety. you will have broad, deep understanding of Krishna's pastimes. And if in anxiety, your mind will not be there. Even when you're reading, your mind will not be there when you're chanting. Let's be practical. Let's go down to earth. So now we talk too much of high-tech philosophy without really going down to earth. Yes, so Krishna consciousness would love to protect the women because we call them the women Mataji. Mataji means what? Mother. Who likes to abuse his mother? Even if somebody else tried to abuse your mother, you're ready to sacrifice your life. If you have a gun, you kill that person and also kill yourself. If somebody tries to abuse them. So we have to make sure that we are protecting the women, protecting the children. This is the culture of Krishna consciousness. Just like Mother Yasoda was taking so much care for Rohini and Krishna. And just like the inhabitants of Raj, they were all enamored, enchanted by Krishna's very beauty. we should be in the mood of really caring for each other. Because if we believe in principle that everyone is part and parcel of Krishna, then we have to act like the Vrajabhasis, who go extra mile to take care of Lord Krishna. We have to go extra mile to give our young ones especially, and our immediate family, the pleasure, the emotional support that is required. If we don't even give our spouse or families emotional support, what type of devotees are we? That means we are dissatisfying Lord Krishna. So, every verse of the Bhagavad Gita has its esoteric meaning, but also people can perceive it from the exoteric perspective. And even every episode, every event, every lila has its own fundamental principle and an inner meaning. And we could always relate all of these incidences, even sociologically speaking, to be able to create an avenue where we can learn something and implement that in our day-to-day life so as to create a viable future for a human society in general. Not just for our immediate environment, but even for the whole of human society. So Krishna is appearing, but what is the purpose of his appearance? If it is just to kill demons, he doesn't need to come. He's coming because he wants to give pleasure to his devotees. So we should, from today, think, what I have done now, is it going to give pleasure to this Mataji? What I've done now, is it going to give pleasure to my husband? What I said, is it going to give pleasure to my wife? What I did, is it going to give pleasure to Shyama Sundara? Because Krishna came to give his devotees pleasure, and we are supposed to be his devotees. Therefore, father like son, we have to act like Lord Krishna. If Krishna says, Suridam Sabra Bhutana, he is a friend of all living entities, should we be the enemy of all living entities? Huh? Should we be the enemies of all living entities? Therefore, if we want to reclaim conditioned souls back to the Krishna family, which is why we are gathering here to be able to learn something, every week we have a congested program. Even most of the temples in America now, they don't have the type of programs people are having, but every week. So, what is the undertone? You are struggling to reclaim conditioned souls back to the Krishna family. Means you have to be friendly. You have to act like Krishna, who is Suridam Sarvaputta. Because if you are friendly with people, it does not become an official thing of you trying to proselytize them as you go out to invite people to your programs. Take for instance, you are in a particular office and you're friendly with your colleagues. We tell them, my child is having a birthday today, so you come over to my house for a lunch. If you're not friendly with them, you can't give that type of oral invitation to them. If even you give them paper for invitation, you're not friendly with them, they won't come. They will give you a reason next time, or they will give you a reason maybe to the appointed date. And they call you on the phone and tell you, I'll give you a very good reason that you even start to sympathize with them, why they're not able to come. But it's a deliberate thing. You don't want to come because you're not friendly with them. They won't feel free. If someone is not friendly with you, you don't feel free to go and stay in his house for a long time because you're not going to feel comfortable, isn't it? You're not going to feel comfortable. So, one point. Those of us who are working, those of us who are schooling, we are in a particular community, non-devotees, we should be friendly. When we are friendly, it makes it easy for this project, for this program, that you'll be able to entice people from different cultural backgrounds. Hispanics, Caucasians, Indians, African Americans, you can actually have friends from all over the place. Because, you see, these bodies are not the thing. The bodies are simply jackets. If I take 7 or 200 for what it is, I'm not after the dress he's putting on. I take him, this is a devotee, he's a nice guy. That's it. So we have to be able to extend ourselves to people. And Krishna will be very pleased. That is the essence of his coming, of his appearance, of his advent. He is coming to reclaim conditioned souls. He is coming not just to kill demons. That is just a complementary or supplementary thing. The main thing is that he wants to give pleasure to his devotees. He wants to increase the family pleasure. Everybody is working so hard to give pleasure to his family. Krishna is also working very hard to give pleasure to all the devotees. So this is the mood that we should have. First, we have to be able to create an avenue whereby we don't get used by the Maya to distract or to create a distraction in a Vaishnava community. Second, we have to see how we are actually, whatever we do, whatever we say, is giving pleasure to other devotees. Other devotees means your spouse also. Sometimes we work so hard and we are so much fired up in Krishna consciousness that then we minimize our spouse, minimize the power. And you know what reaction that is going to bring? You know? When you minimize your spouse, you know what happens? If you're a devotee, the woman is a devotee, you're a devotee, or the man is a devotee, you're a devotee. You know what happens? You get stagnated at some point in time. And you wonder, oh, I'm not able to wake up again. I'm not even able to chant my rounds now. I don't know what I'm using my time for. It happens. So, if everyone is part and parcel of Krishna, charity begins at home. Your spouse should be proud. Yes, he's a very good husband. Treats me nicely. Shall I tell a story? I don't want to mention the place where I was having a program. I was having a program in some place, okay? Just in the US here. And I was trying to immediately use some period to mix, to examine something and then, you know, give some feedback. So I asked I was speaking to one man in the audience. An audience like this, bigger than this. And then I was speaking to him that, I was talking about, you know, when someone travels, when someone is away, when he comes back, he needs to bring something to the family, to the child or to the wife, or if the wife has traveled, to the husband and to the children. So I was speaking with, I was asking one gentleman in the midst there, he's a devotee. And I said, so if you travel, take for instance, you travel to India for 10 days. You've been in America here. So you travel to India for 10 days. If you're coming back, would you purchase something? Would you get some gift, some souvenir for your wife and your child or children? Before the man could speak, you know what happened? The wife just raised her hand and said, "Be sincere, be sincere, be sincere." Yeah. So we should not be the type of husband that the wife will not feel comfortable when he wants to say something. Because she may be thinking, you may jump the gun, you may not say the real thing. We should be the type of husband that our wife, if even we are sleeping, they'll be able to defend us. Not just defend us artificially as a husband, but as a loving devotee of the Lord. I've also had cases whereby someone says his wife will refuse to make juice for him. He came to me and said, "Maharaj, let me get my wife to make some juice, just a certain type of juice for you." I said, "It's okay." He said, I asked her to make plenty so that I can also take. I said, "Wait, they are laughing. We have not finished your laughing." I said, "It's okay." I said, "Ben, if you need juice, you can ask your wife to do it for you." And then he said, she won't do it. She said, "What?" "She won't do it." I said, "Have you tried it?" She said, "Yes." But the thing is, He didn't ask me for counseling, so I didn't go further. I would have told him what is going on. He didn't ask me for counseling. You know, counselors, lawyers, and doctors, they don't jump into your matter when you don't invite them. Okay? It's just like if you don't ask a question, then I'll start addressing all of your problems. Even I know the problem because he didn't ask me. So I will keep quiet. Except I'm talking in the class like this. Maybe you feel, oh, this one matter talk is actually related to me and all this. But traditionally, if you ask a question, then we address that question, isn't it? He didn't ask anything. He knows this happened. He didn't ask a solution to it. Perhaps he's thinking it's normal. But it's not normal. Okay? A woman of Indian background, for that matter. Can't tell you. No. No, can't tell you. No. And a devotee, even for that matter. So, it means several things. The primary thing is that the woman is not getting emotional support from the husband. He only comes to her, get this from me, do this for me, do this, do this, do this. And people get married, it's not that you claim that you're higher than the other person all the time, because sometimes, remember, I don't want one couple, the two of them, they did the same degree program in the university, they got married. So sometimes you find that we don't relate properly and we're thinking we love Krishna so much. But this other person is part and parcel of Krishna, so we should treat people nicely. Then we can understand Krishna's appearance and leaders properly. What about Krishna won't reveal himself to? If we hurt someone, if we hurt someone, Krishna won't reveal himself to us. So we don't want like to prolong this class unnecessarily. But these are fundamental principles that we can work with as we are going to expand this preaching project here. We have a lot of good prospects here. And what is required is that, you know, there should be some genuine interest among the devotees to help it pushing on the mission of Srila Prabhupada. When we do this, we'll be happy. Our happiness will know no bounds. We'll know that we have fulfilled the purpose of our human life. And it doesn't matter. It's not a dress thing. It's not that someone who puts on some saffron cloth is the one who has to do it. No. Lord Kapila Dev said, anybody who prosecutes this path, with all faith, it mentioned faith there, with all faith, he or she will attain the supreme destination. Okay? So all of you here, everybody has equal opportunity. Lord Krishna mentioned in the Gita that if even a woman, a child, follows this path, he calls it imperishable path. So look at the opportunity we have. We have big opportunity to, from here, this Krishna consciousness, the springboard to the spiritual world. You jump from here to the spiritual world straight. Who wants old age, disease, and death? Nobody. Otherwise, what do you call it? This guy's death wouldn't be a cause for investigation, and the doctor, his doctor, will be going in for jail. Mm-hmm. Nobody likes to die. Although Joe Jackson said his son used to work very hard, but Joe Jackson himself was abusing Michael Jackson. He abused him. That's why he went to do plastic surgery. And you know, I follow up that matter very closely, and then I was speaking with some doctors who know about every detail of what was transpiring. And one of the doctors, he told me, "Oh, that doctor is going to jail. He will lose his job and he will go to jail." Because the medication that he administered to Michael Jackson is never to be administered in a home. Even in the hospital, the doctor will sit there to watch the patient until everything is over. So, what a mess in the material world. To be a doctor in this country is a very good thing. But you could be carried away with money and you run into that type of problem. And then you start regretting why you're born. You lose your credibility, you lose everything, and you go to jail on top of that. Material world is pada pada, he the pada. Every step you take could be dangerous. So let's finish up this program of another body in this life, by simply coming together to team up and spread Krishna consciousness in peaceful. That much simple. Just team up and do this, and Krishna will catapult all of you back up to Godhead. That's a simple thing. Hare Krishna. And there are some questions and some comments on this point. We don't want to take you far into the night because time is already going. But essentially, I love the way the devotees here, they're fogging ahead with the preaching. A lot of nice prospects are there. And you just continue doing what you're doing. Come together, team up, push on the mission. There is nothing as powerful as synergy. It's so powerful. And once you begin to spread Krishna consciousness, people are having a chance to be able to hear the holy name, then don't worry about your own liberation. Krishna takes care automatically. Don't worry about your own liberation. It's like your child wants to play with a motor tire. But if you have a limousine, tire is there already. Do you need to go and buy a tire separately? No. It's there. So you just do something for Krishna, and Krishna takes care of your liberation. Your need for liberation, Krishna takes care of. And Krishna also reveals himself, reveals his pastimes, his transcendental birth, everything is revealed. So this is how we can function, and at the end of this life, we'll be able to have an ingress into the spiritual world. So any comments or questions on this point? Yes.
In the beginning of the conversation, you had mentioned something about, when the students are talking to the professor, they always try to find fault with the professor, which in some ways could be good, but in some ways, if they're not respectful, of course, that's not good.
Mm-hmm.
So in some ways, it's good because they're trying to make that inquiry because they may not understand what's going on. But in many ways, if the students are just challenging the teacher, of course, it's not considered to be nice in that environment. But this scientific knowledge is pretty abstract. It's not the ultimate knowledge because it keeps changing with time. And scientific knowledge is not the ultimate. So from that standpoint, I think by creating a respectful discussion with the professor, they are advancing the science to a level that it will probably meet with the Vedic knowledge at some point in the future and will become a pure science.
Mm.
But until that time, that discussion has to take place because everybody is going through different stages.
Yes.
And we cannot discourage that discussion.
Sure. Yeah, that's the point. That's a good point. What I meant was that we are trained academics to find fault with a professor. Take for instance, I remember one time, one conference we went. Okay, so we were in another hall because the different panels are different halls. So we're in another hall, and then one of the professor who was organizing the program, the chairman of that very conference, he came to call us. Okay, that time I was much younger. So he came to call us, and then he got this young scholars. And you know what he told us? He said, "There's one professor who is presenting the paper there. Come, hey boys, come. Let us go and find fault with this paper. He thought he knows too much." So, I mean, that's it.
that's a good way to deflate somebody's ego. If somebody is really egotistic about it, it's a good way to let go deflate his ego.
So, the point is, this is what goes on in the material arena, when all these people meet for their so-called conferences. You need to see what goes on. That, even the chairman of the panel, his duty is to be, he doesn't really make good comments about papers. Therefore, I think I remember one conference I went, I was in Las Vegas, and you know, this professor is an officer. I can't remember his rank, but I think he's a captain in the U.S. Army. But he's a political science professor. He teaches. It is one of the academies. And so this guy, and all of the other panelists, when they present the papers, you know, he was criticizing them. So I was up thinking that, hey, my God, this guy, this guy is up to something here. So I was prepared, okay, when he brings up his criticisms and all this to my paper. Because I remember when I was presenting my paper, he was just writing down so many things. He was having a copy of my paper, and he was just marking it with a marker and all this things. So I was prepared that, oh, it's going to doze out lots and lots of criticism. So I was prepared. And then when I finished, surprisingly to everybody, all the other scholars, the guy just burst into laughter. He's a young professor in his 30s. So he just burst into laughter. He said, I wish there is time for me to hear you more. You see, I've not met you before, but it seems as if what you're saying, I've heard it before, and as if I've met you before. That was very surprising. It was a shock to all of, because everybody else he was criticizing. So the point is, in devotional service, we learn to appreciate what each and every devotee has. But if we have some contradictory idea, still we don't make it like a big deal that we campaign with other people, like the other guy came to call us that, come, let us go and pray for this person. Rather, the devotee thinks, oh, this devotee has some minor problem. How can I help you? Even our presentation or even our questioning is based on proaction, not reaction. Proaction means that I want to help out a situation. So this is the Vedic system. We should be proactive, and especially in a project like what you have here, a Christian project like this, devotees should be proactive. In that way, you know, people get motivated to be able to do more. Because see, we are performing a service that we're not being paid. We know Krishna is going to pay us a reward. But when we motivate each other, then we will actually forge ahead at a higher speed, at a greater length, and with more input and investment in this very project. It's a matter of, you know, we have to know different techniques of how to motivate each other. So it is important, our discussions are important. Discussions have to go on very nicely. Yes, it's important. The whole Krishna consciousness development is based on, you know, question and answers. Finally, in Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna is asking questions, Krishna is answering. In the Bhagavatam, Parikshit is asking questions, Sukadeva Goswami is answering, Vidura is asking, Maitreya Muni is answering. So, but we should be proactive. That's important. We should think of how can I help this person? Like, even a husband and wife in the home, I mean, they should be, of course, women are very sensitive. Therefore, if you see a husband, I know one girl, one lady from Europe, she was with us in Gitanagar one time with the husband when my guru mother was passing away. And at 3 o'clock, the lady comes to our ashram because the husband was sleeping with me. And he will always, you know, try to figure out whether the husband is awake and all these things. That means she's very much proactive. She's concerned about the progress of the family. So it should be, we should relate to each other in a way that we're always thinking of, where is his weakness? How can I help here? In that way, you know, everybody will become enthused. Enthusiasm should be our watchword, because that is one of the ingredients of spiritual progress. Now, if we motivate people and we are proactive in our project, definitely people will be enthused. So thank you very much for your contribution. So in the absence of any other comments or questions, we'd like to... Okay.
No, you know, you were talking about taking shelter of pure devotees.
Uh-huh.
Sometimes, you know, pure devotees is far away, like,
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Around the devotees, we may not be thinking they are filled.
Okay.
The mind.
Yeah.
So how can we be satisfied with what Krishna is giving us around us, you know?
Yeah, devotees should see every other person as pure, and we should see ourselves as most holy. In that way, we are ready to create, to make best use of a bad body. We may stay in an environment where we don't have sciences coming, but each and everybody here has something to offer. In fact, if you read the story of the Avadhut in the 12th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, he had about 24 spiritual masters. So he was able to learn from even the tree, the anthill, even from art. From anything, he learned something. So by the time you listen to any devotee here, you grab something. But once you begin to think, I'm more advanced than her, I'm more advanced than him, how can I listen to his class? Then we're in problem already. And we should struggle to get out from that problem. A devotee should be so sober and humble that he should be learned. He should act like the Avadhuta, who learns even from the tree, who learns even from the anthill. So we can learn from each other in all circumstances, in as much as we want to progress in our devotional service. Therefore, we should take shelter of each other, not just only the Paramahamsas. Of course, when you have a chance to be able to relate to an advanced devotee whom you can easily call on the phone, whom you can easily communicate, send mails to, each time you receive just mails, you get energized, you get so charged with spiritual energy. Each time you call just a person speaking on the phone, communicate with the person, just when you hear the vibration, you get energized. That is the power, the spiritual potency of, you know, devotionally advanced devotees. So yes, besides our spiritual master, we should act like the Avadhuta, who is having many Siksha Gurus. Siksha Gurus who can't avoid. Spiritual Diksha, we have one. Siksha Gurus, anybody that we can learn something from, we should try to be friendly with the person, be able to create a relationship where we can communicate with the person, telephone call, email. Now even the modern technological innovation has created a very conducive atmosphere for advancement in Krishna consciousness. Very easy. The person may be living in the other part of the world, but you can just easily communicate by Skype, telephone, email. It's a matter of checking out someone whom you feel you can get some shakti from. And then advanced devotees, they should be liberal. They should not be members of the conservative party. Huh? They should be liberals.
Right.
I'm a liberal guy.
Yeah.
So you feel free, okay? All right. Is there any comment or some? Any comment from the Matajis? I know the Matajis are very shy and they're very humble, so sometimes they don't want to talk. Yes.
You said serving means is like serving prasadam or giving them like food. What do you mean?
Oh, service entails a lot of things. It's just like you serve your child. Your child is a devotee. So you do everything for your child. You serve your child nicely. You provide nice food for your child. You give the child good medication. The same attention you give to the person you love most. According to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he says that we should think of our enemy. This is a relationship the devotee should establish. We should think about our worst enemy in the material world. Spiritually speaking, we don't really have an enemy.